This episode of Film Sack brought to you by you. Well, that's weird, right? Go to patreon.com/frogpants. Give us a little bit of scratch to help Film Sack thrive and survive. That's patreon.com/frogpants. Do it today.
Where are you going, buddy?
Tommy Village.
Tommy Village?
Yeah.
Never heard of it. This is Gadina Air Base. Sarge, Tommy Village?
You standing on it, Corporal. Get him out of here.
Right. Just take that road and make a right.
You insult my honor again, I'll kill you. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 239. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight, Brian, the old juke and punch the windshield twice move, Dunaway.
Wow, that was offensive. All right, hey, before we get started, I think I need to read this little bit of trivia for context so you guys know what I'm talking about. All right, The Karate Kid Part 2, the follow-up to the highly successful 1984 martial arts coming-of-age film starring Pat Morita and Ralph Macchio, was originally slated to be titled The Karate Kick, but later renamed to the more familiar title The Karate Kid Part 2, due to concerns over confusing his fan base with another lesser-known series of teenager martial arts films starring Scott Baio. This naming decision was such a good idea that it later influenced other movies slated to come out that year, including Back to the Future Part 2, which is originally titled Come With Me, Your Kids Are Assholes. And that's it, folks. Don't believe everything you read on the internet or hear on a podcast, for Pete's sakes. Would someone cue the original that original flute music crap?
Yeah, I got some of that for you later.
All right.
In fact, you know what? Here. Oh, I don't have it handy. Damn it. I'll play it later. Also with us, Randy, I hate that stupid hand drum, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Since this week's film is a straight-up remake, my greeting is going to be a straight-up remake of last week's greeting. Okay, so, first of all, I walked to Atlanta. I mean Okinawa. But you can't really walk to Okinawa. You have to fly. So I'm going to need to plunder my college savings. And before I go, I need to say goodbye to my girlfriend. What the heck? Where did my girlfriend go? She was right here at this karate tournament, hugging and kissing me not 10 minutes ago. And now she's completely gone. I'll probably not even notice. Can I have the window seat? Thanks. I'm hoping that from 30,000 feet, I can see my next girlfriend's bangs blowing into her eyes already.
That's one of my favorites.
You know, I want to talk about that stupid trope. That pisses me off in movies so often. Next girlfriend is like, yeah.
And this is, shared template. We'll get to all that. Finally with us, Brian, where you at, Elizabeth Shue Ibbett?
Daniel, son, let me tell you about my home. I come from an old fishing village where my childhood friend Sato has overfished the waters and turned my once profitable birthplace into a poor shell of its former self. My fishing village is so poor.
How poor is it?
Thank you. The village thugs have to buy their dress shirts from the children's section of the Okinawa Kmart. I'll be here all week. Try the fish. Oh, you can't.
Oh, that's a
don't
you
try
can't
the
have
fish.
The fish. Nice. Oh my gosh, all three of you. What's your deal today? That was some of the best stuff we've ever done. Can we shut it down now?
The material.
Shut it out.
Right. The source material was gold.
I guess so. Yeah. You're going to not like what I have to say about Karate Kid 2, but let's hear what Fletcher has to say about it first. So here's him. That's him. Here he is.
Karate Kid Part 2. In this high-kicking sequel, karate champ Daniel LaRusso and his mentor, Mr. Miyagi, travel to Okinawa, where Miyagi visits his dying father and rekindles his feelings for a former flame, which leads to a confrontation with a longtime rival.
All right, fine. That's fine. Yeah. That's better than the Karate Kid 3.
I'm going to disagree with the hate for Karate Kid 3.
Ooh. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you have your say on this, but Karate
Kid
3 is bad.
Let's just say the Karate Kid 3 is a lot more fun than this depressing piece of crap.
I disagree.
You don't think so?
Yep. Okay, so here's what I was going to say before this, and then I want to go around and everybody either agree with me or disagree. I came into this dreading it. I was not looking forward to this at all. I don't remember liking this movie. I'd seen it kind of recently and thought, ugh, I'm glad I showed my kids the first one first because this one's poo, and it just gets worse from there. I don't know what happened. I kind of enjoyed this movie today. And I watched it this morning, and I don't know why. There's a lot of problems with it. It's kind of inherently racist in a lot of ways. It's got a bunch of these holes in it, like the girlfriend issues and the, you know, that tropey freaking template where it's like Daniel's got to do the junior version of whatever old man just did. So he goes and saves the old fart, and then he's got to go up and save the kid from the high wire.
Right. They just take turns going out to save people instead of, well, let's all work together and maybe we can take care of this in like 2 minutes.
Exactly.
Here's the weird thing about it as a remake. So the big parts are the older person has an older person rival. The younger person has a younger person rival, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why did they start the movie with a re-explanation, another investigation into the previous older person rival, younger person rival?
I think it was because I have an answer for that. I think this was a trend perpetrated upon us, upon the public, by Rocky IV, was it? Where they did the exact same freaking thing. This,
Rocky V, because John G. Avildsen, our director, who also did Rocky V.
Yeah. I think that is exactly right. And I think that guy really digs that. And I was looking at other movies to try to see where maybe this had happened that he's directed. And I couldn't find any others that just rang out and said, oh, yeah, they did that whole flashback thing in the beginning again. But for sure, Rocky V did that. And it was the same idea, and it's kind of useless. Like, what is the freaking point?
Well, it's the whole, you know, there has to be, you can't just have one bad guy, right? It's got to be the bad guy and then his trainee, the Sith and the Padawan, or the Jedi and the Padawan, the Sith and...
and Junior, you know. Sith Junior, yeah.
I think the reason why we have these recaps at the top of this particular movie is I think maybe... he was thinking, well, we had a really good successful Karate Kid 1, and I don't think everybody knew it was a love story. So I think he's thinking, well, we're going to have maybe a wider audience for the second one, so we need to kind of recap.
And they did. The second one was more successful than the first.
Yeah, it made more money. Right. Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, so, and I helped contribute to that, and I'm glad they had that recap, because in 1986, when Don Mosby and his girlfriend and his girlfriend's friend all invited me to go see Karate Kid 2 with the three of them, I had not seen the first movie. So I was really happy for that recap.
But you see,
I know what's going on.
And then you just got to see the first movie only in Okinawa. I mean, it's really the same thing.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's, I guess, is the only real beef I have with it is that they relied on the template twice. It was the exact same template, new location. Emphasis more on old man this time, less on the boy and his troubles, although they gave him plenty. But it's really the same thing. Why don't you get beat up by a bunch of similarly aged thugs? Okay, great. Let's do that a couple of times. Where have I seen that before? Oh, I don't know. Karate Kid 1!
Exactly.
Right. You just basically replace Tommy and
right.
all of his friends in their skeleton outfits with new thugs in their over-tight watermelon-stained T-shirts.
Yeah, so instead of surfer... Right? So the surfer boys, now we have a cultural greaser thing going on. That
right.
Is this well,
and remember,
turn.
Remember, those guys in the first one weren't surfer boys. They were biker dudes. They rode bicycles.
BMX biker dudes.
Oh, that's true. But they were way scarier. They were meant to be kind of like surfer attitude guys. But yeah, you're right.
Well, sure,
they were totally bikers.
So to come back around on this description for Karate Kid Part 3, I just want to read this, and then you guys tell me if this sounds like a better or worse film than 2. Ostracized villain John Kreese. Okay, he's our boxer man or our karate
and he's instructor. He is the what you call it knockoff. The oh my gosh, tall guy Steven Seagal. He's the Steven Seagal knockoff.
Kind of basically, but he's the he's the coach in the first movie and the one that put his hands through the windshields in the first part of this movie. They're back to him. He attempts to gain revenge on Daniel and Miyagi with the help of Vietnam War comrades and a wealthy owner of a toxic waste disposal business.
I can't wait to see this.
It was their opportunity. Yeah, you know we are at some point. Yeah. I mean, it was basically their opportunity to let's not keep things so, you know, limited to just being about Daniel and Miyagi's life. Let's expand it to the environment and, yeah, and what they're doing to make a difference.
Yep. And 89 was not ready for such a thing and kind of roundly
rejected. Give him a new blonde little girlfriend. So he just, apparently Daniel-san just can't keep a girl for more than one movie.
Yeah, it's bad.
I hope we keep going because I want to see three. I want to watch the next Karate Kid with you guys. I've seen that movie like a dozen times.
I've never seen it. I have no idea what to expect.
Oh, good.
It's the one with what's her face?
Hilary Swank.
Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah. Nobody keeps the next Karate Kid in the corner is what the tagline should be. Hilary Swank. Yeah. Michael Ironside's in that. There's a lot of reasons to see the next Karate Kid.
Yeah.
But it is rated worse than three. And three is rated worse than two, and one is highly rated pretty much anywhere you look. I just kind of came away from this thinking two's not nearly as bad as I thought it was. And you guys can set me straight if you think I'm wrong. Am I looking at it through some kind of weird glasses today? I don't know. But for whatever reason, I felt like Pat Morita's performance was great, as always. I find him enchanting as this character, you know, as rote as it is. But he kind of invented the stereotype that you now see, like the wise old Chinese / Japanese guy who also has a secret, and that secret is he could kill you with three twists of his pinky. But he kind of invented it and owned it and still embodies it, and I really am entertained by him, and I think it's subtle. It's not all over the top. You know, Daniel's Daniel, whatever. The other cast is whatever. But he is fun to watch, and I don't ever get tired of looking at him, so I didn't hate to, and I think he's probably the reason.
Yeah.
I feel really lucky that I'm young enough that I didn't know Pat Morita before this movie. I love
really no Happy Days or anything?
Well, okay, so he was on Happy Days, but I never put it together when I was a kid and I watched Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Because if you're a little older, you see Pat Morita as this really wacky comic. Like, as comedians go, he was one of the most, you know, silly.
Mm-hmm.
And this role kind of requires that he have some gravitas. And I buy it. I'm just devouring what he's putting out here.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know him before.
With chopsticks? How are you?
Well, are you devouring it?
Yeah.
You can't anything with chopsticks.
I only knew him from Happy Days. So for me, I don't have the stand up because he did stand up for years and has all kinds of other stuff he did, and most of it not in accents. I mean, he would make, you know, a lot of his jokes dealt with like his ancestral stuff, but for the most part, he's like wisecracking American sounding dude, born in Hawaii, I guess. I think. Is he the one born in Hawaii? I think so.
And this was filmed in Hawaii as well.
So. Yeah. So, which looked really nice, I thought.
Yeah. Kaneohe Bay, man. That is
it's beautiful.
When they first got there, I was expecting Japan. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Kaneohe Bay. Like, from the instant I saw it. And then I couldn't unsee all of the Hawaii license plates on all the cars. They didn't even try to mask that.
Oh,
yeah, it was so Hawaii that it actually broke the whole setting for me. I never could get into Okinawa.
Well, let me ask you something. So as you travel, I want to make sure I get this right. As you travel west from Honolulu, mm-hmm, on Oahu, you come to, you know, as you're maybe kind of traveling around the island, you go through kind of a cardboard shanty town, and then end of
you're way out west, like Makaha.
Yes.
Okay.
And then beyond that, there is this little inlet with a bridge going over it. Mm-hmm. Is that the inlet that they were climbing around on when you're No.
This was all right up against Kaneohe Bay. They were out. They were out on the coast of the windward side. For every exterior. And you get the feeling that all the interiors were shot in California.
Did they get 30 seconds warning on all typhoons in that particular bay?
It's right. So weird. I want to talk about that later. But while we're talking about people you recognize from earlier things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, before you do that, I want to hear Pat Morita stand up. I just found a video. Listen,
cool.
A taste of it. Here we go. Showtime special. Why is it? Okay, here we go. Well, it's only coming out of one ear. Crap.
That's not the ear of the week yet.
I know, you're getting the mono version. Damn it. All right, let's try this one. Here's another one. Funny man Pat Morita. Nope, same one ear. All right, hold on. That's making me sad. Nope, that's also one ear.
Someone sent Scott a crossover.
You ever know the difference between cats and dogs? Cats are all like, whoa, whatever. And dogs.
What's the deal?
With airplane food.
So, by the way, just a quick note to all YouTubers, people who put things on YouTube, Put them up in stereo or proper mono in both channels, you dumbasses.
Right. And if you see something funny on TV, don't just hold up your phone and record the TV. Figure out a way to actually do that stuff right. Would you?
Yeah, that's a good PSA right there.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Sorry, Randy, you were on a path to something and I pulled us off the road.
Speaking of people we saw in previous stuff.
Yeah.
This film features heavily Howard Cosell from Better Off Dead.
Whoa, what? Wait.
And
the guy. That's the guy. The main thug.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I
Daniel
did not
Sun's
put that together.
Rival is Howard Cosell from Better Off Dead. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who rides along in the other car, like narrating over the microphone.
Oh, that's the guy?
Yeah.
And I just couldn't stand it the whole movie. And of course, early on, when you first meet him, one of the first things he does is rip his shirt off. So you realize, oh, wow, he borrowed Ricardo Montalban's chest from Wrath of Khan. That's really bizarre. Like, you don't ever see people with that exact chest. It's a really strange thing.
That dude's buff.
Wow.
It was really.
I wouldn't even say he's buff. He's like, he's on border on man boobs with muscles because
it's shiny.
He's so skinny that they were jumping, looked like boobs.
Right.
They were jumping off of his chest, trying to get away. It was like, ah!
I'm surprised I'm the only one who was on the Better Off Dead problem.
I knew he was familiar, but I couldn't place it. I guess I could have looked it up.
I was moreover on the Daniel San's girlfriend is the woman from that we just saw. Well, not just saw, but saw in Four Rooms as Antonio Banderas' wife.
I did not know.
A quick note,
the
by
mother
the way,
of the two misbehaving children.
Yes, and she's beautiful, by the way.
What she is.
Lovely
she
woman. Is. But just to backtrack real quick, quick correction. It's like Armageddon. We've never seen Better Off Dead.
Oh, I know.
On this show. Okay,
Say we have.
Oh, I thought you said it was previous stuff.
I've seen Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
I've seen Better Off Dead so many times.
Right.
There's things that Better Off Dead work their way into my life. Like,
I only remember Booger being in it, and then Van Halen singing Hamburger. That's all I remember.
You're thinking of One Crazy Summer.
Oh, am
I?
No, Better Off Dead has the
Better Off Dead has the Van Halen thing in the hamburger joint.
And Booger's
in it. Yeah, but Booger's in the other movie, isn't he? He's
he's in Better Off
Dead. The Bobcat Goldthwait thing.
Yeah. Booger is in Better Off Dead. He's the best friend, and he keeps telling John Cusack to kill himself.
I was getting it confused too. Wait a minute. I gotta look.
I was totally confusing One Crazy Summer and Better Off Dead.
It's easy to mix them up. So one of them had animated violent bunnies. That was One Crazy Summer.
Mm-hmm. And then Godzilla and Demi Moore.
And then one had an animated hamburger doing Van Halen, Jump or Panama or something.
And of the two, we need to see One Crazy Summer as part of Film Sack.
Agreed. Yes. Agreed. I'm actually not a huge bit Better Off Dead fan. Anyway.
No, it's not good for Film Sack except for the part with this kid wearing a yellow jacket impersonating Howard Cosell. I want to hear that quote.
I cannot believe it's that guy. I can't believe it's that guy.
Now, I remember that because he's always trying to drag race him, but I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember a lot of Better Off Dead, apparently.
Better Off. I'm going to find this guy.
Better Off Dead Race on YouTube. You'll find it.
I found it.
You can find the whole stupid movie on
stereo.
YouTube.
I'm going to play it. Yeah. I do too, dude. All right, here it is. We're going to play it. See if it's volume. Okay.
6 months. 6 months and she just dumps me for him.
All right.
For Stalin, just like that.
Okay, pulls up next one.
6 months.
There he is. I forgot about these guys.
Truly a sight to behold. A man beat the once great champ. Now a study in mopishness.
He is totally not doing those lines himself, though. Somebody is VOing
No
that.
Way.
Yeah. That's and amazing.
That's fantastic.
That's 1985, so this was the following year.
Yeah. You're right. 86 it was released, So he was roughly the same guy. He's in some cool stuff now. He's in Inception, and anytime you need a big, scary Asian guy, he's in lots of stuff now. Anyway, so here's some other trivia for you. How about this one? Hold on. Scroll down. There it is. Pat Morita. A dude is busy after he died. The ghost of Pat Morita has 10 more credits.
He's got a hologram dancing at the Grammys. It's
crazy. All the way up to 2014. Last year, he was in a movie called, hold on, let me pull this up. It's called Rice Girl. I'm sure that wasn't racist. He's in that with the guy that plays the mean coach, Martin Cove again.
Really?
Yeah.
The crease? Really?
Yep. And it's Pat Morita, Martin Cove, Ian Lithgow. That must be John Lithgow's ugly nephew or something. Dean Haglund, none of these people we know. It's a real piece of poo.
It's funny but there's drop, a movie called Rice back. Girl, because I've seen a movie called Ramen Girl.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's yeah. funny. Hey, drop back one more movie. He was in something called Blunt Movie.
Blunt Movie as Mr. Yeah. Miami.
Sketch comedy in the tradition of Kentucky Fried Movie, which, by the way, is a great movie if you've never seen that.
Yeah, but how was he doing it in 2013?
I don't know.
Could Angie Everhart, is she ever in anything where her boobs aren't out? Come on now. Dennis Rodman.
Wow, no kidding. I mean, it was 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago he died.
James Hong, that guy, he's in it. Mary Carey, porn star.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and former presidential candidate Mary Carey.
Yeah. Pat Morita, what did you do when you died? Because he died in 05, all right? All of these credits.
Not dead.
All of these credits came after that. There's voices in some games and stuff, and I guess you can mishmash that from other takes. I get that. But like 18 Fingers of Death in 06, okay, maybe filmed it right before. But Act Your Age in 2011, Blunt Movie and Rice Girl in 2013, 2014. Mm. What'd you do?
That's crazy, yeah.
Prop him up and...
Hardest working former man in the afterlife. former actor.
Weekends, hey, you know, like Weekends at Pat Morita's.
Wizards and Pat Morita do not die. They just get stronger.
They continue on. You know who's like this? It's like a Tupac album. Like every couple of years, like, oh, there's another Tupac album.
Well, we talked about on DMS how Prince apparently is sitting on 2,000 unreleased songs in his basement.
Oh, wow. Right. Really? Same kind of thing. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was weird. But back to the weather. Mm-hmm. That doesn't... I've been in a typhoon. A level 9 or whatever they call... What's the classification? Whatever it is.
Category 9 or something like that.
Whatever it was. It was a high number, and we were in China trying to get out of Hong Kong, and we had all this warning. It was like, yeah, there's one coming. It was like 2 days earlier. Oh, yeah, there's one still coming. Oh, it's barely starting to blow. Like, it wasn't a thing that would kick in like that. So I assume that was just hokey movie bullshit.
I'm going to defend the weather detecting abilities of Okinawa during the 80s because these people did not have any technology whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the richest man lived in like a two-room hut that fell on him when the wind got to blow
him. It felt like it was made of Jenga bricks.
Right.
That thing.
And crushed him because he was so stupid. That's what I was thinking, because I was thinking he lived in a mansion, but then they were all like, oh yeah, he's over in his house hut thing, and I'm thinking, but that's just a little bitty two-room.
That's just his other home. He had that
His
summer hut. Yeah, he had the bigger mansion that he was out in the backyard hitting his...
Oh, he's doing dojo stuff.
Log. Yeah.
Yeah, he was
pounding on his log.
What you doing back there, honey? Just hitting my log.
Pounding on my log. Don't worry about me. Pounding on my log, he'd say. That's how he'd say it.
I like to call that hand chopping.
Is that what that is?
This movie has a bunch of hand chopping.
Sure.
Yeah. Several different people partake in the fine art of being hand choppers.
Mm-hmm. I could break, by the way, I could break four or five thin sheets of ice, no problem. That was utter garbage. That was so easy. The way those things were, those were the thinnest sheets of ice that Daniel's son.
Yeah, well, it's basically when you see it from the side, they make sure to use thick ones when they're putting things in. Mm-hmm. And they replace it with, we froze these on our cookie sheets in the freezer overnight.
Yeah, and you saw them when the camera pulled away, you saw how thin they were, and you were just
the shards come down,
dumb.
Oh, stupid shards. What were those supposed to, what were they supposed to be? What was the real purpose of those
feats of strength, brother?
Yeah, like, it's basically dartboards in Okinawa.
Before they were a game, what are people making these ice sheets for? I asked the same question.
Well, here's the problem. That entire town looked like it was stuck in World War II. That they never got out of that time period. For whatever reason, that bar was full of rowdy Americans, though. So that was something.
Military. Yeah,
that
military
bar in Honolulu's Chinatown.
Yeah.
Right.
But again, the exteriors were great. I love the exteriors in this movie, but they go inside anywhere and you're like, did people ever live this stereotypically? Did people living on the coast with their little dojo by the sea really have all these pictures of people?
Well, if you go to a bar now, it's like, hey, you want to play some, I don't know, you want to play some cards? No. You want to do darts? No. You want to play video poker? No. Do you want to break five sheets of ice with your hands?
Let's go bet on breaking ice.
Yeah. And then having those pictures all over the place made it feel or seem like there was, like this was the Shaolin Temple where Mortal Kombat will take place.
Right.
And to your point, I understand, honoring ancestor stuff, but I think that was all there purely to serve this notion that these two were raised and taught by this great master, and then the great separation took place, which still doesn't make a ton of sense to me. He also turned on a dime.
It was culture clash. That's what this movie was all about. Danielson trying to understand their, you know, honor system that they have going on over there.
He was just into the he just wanted a tea ceremony with that chick real bad.
He really totally. Did. Totally. Yeah.
And then it got blown away.
can I have a Trump alert?
Yes, you can. I can pull run right out. There you go.
Apparently, whenever you're called for to visit the deathbed of someone, if you go, that's when they're going to die. So but don't go.
But this is true. You know that you hear all the time.
Don't go to their deathbed, and they'll live forever. The minute you show up, they're going to say something. They're going to mumble something and die. Don't go.
Make you hold hands with your mortal enemy, and then
right. No, don't touch him. I don't want to touch him. The last lesson must be taught.
It was such a Lady and the Tramp moment there with him, like joining their hands together. And it was like it took Sato like a couple seconds. to look over and
he was real upset.
I give you 3 days.
Yeah. What I like about that scene was that I'm not supposed to laugh, and I did. I like that part of it. And also how quickly the guy died after exerting his last bit of strength to put the hands together. But my favorite bit was when their hands were still together and he was clearly dead. Sato yanks his hand so hard that it makes like a man palm scratch sound. It was. I tried to capture it, and it wasn't really doing justice because the music was so crescendoed. But it made this kind of thumpy kind of like sound to kind of emphasize that Sato wasn't having any of this holding hands business with his mortal enemy. And I thought that was pretty great. But man, I laughed so hard during that scene. I'm not supposed to laugh, but you know, because Miyagi's eyes are all welling up and he's looking like the genuine article. And even Sato, who, you know, we've seen this, he was the old Hawaii Five-0 guy. One of the buddies in that. Anyway, he's, you know, a stoic
the main
face.
Guy, I think, right?
Yeah. But then you got dead guy who is, it's like an airplane movie. He's just kind of like, put the hands together and then I'll die.
And I'm out. That's what I was thinking as well. I was thinking, man, Danielson's probably out there freaking out going, there's a dead guy in the room, you know, and just running around, freaking out in his little whiny voice.
Yep.
Asking questions.
His high pants.
What does it mean when you die, Miyagi?
Yeah, help me. My pants are too high. My belt's way up here. My socks are showing. My shoes are stupid.
He was at Dragon Con this past year, as well as the Bad Dojo teacher.
He really is not aging.
Ralph Macchio, no, he really doesn't.
He's
it's
in his
amazing.
50s, and he does not look like he's in anywhere near his 50s. I would put
him. He could play the next karate teenager. What he could play now. The karate 20 something
in college.
I would give him 20. I'd say he looks somewhere in the range of 28 to 34. Like there's somewhere in there, but that is nowhere near the 53 or 55 or whatever
he is. Like he's 53. He's 8 years older than we are.
That's insane to me.
Yeah. Deal with the devil, man.
That's right. Somebody
your time will
it.
Come, Danielson.
Sorry, that was my Devil Goes Down to Georgia.
By the way, you think Corporal Finkelstein over there on the Air Force Base has ever looked to the right and realized that there's a little village?
That made me laugh.
Do you know he's one of our only Star Trek connections, by the way?
Really?
Yep. That guy. So he was great. He was real excited and reminded me of every time anybody tries to do he's a trope. Like it was short, but it's like, hey, we need a Gomer Pyle type.
Right.
Who just says, Sarge, I don't know what the hell's going on. Send them on their way, dumbass. Like that.
I don't turn right. Oh, look, there's a village right next to the Air Force Base. How long has that been here?
Golly.
Now I'll tell you one thing that the Karate Kid 1 and 2 also shared, and that's what I like to call off-screen acting. Where other actors are yelling in their lines in the background, and it happens in the first one and this one a lot.
Did you see the guy
punching up?
Yeah, the guy at the beginning in the parking lot kerfuffle. I'm gonna play it now because it makes me laugh. Okay. It's a jive talking extra. He's a jive talker.
All right,
so check him out.
Hey, man, what you doing to the brother?
What you doing to the brother?
Right, because he pushed him.
Yeah,
he pushed him.
All these extras, all these extras with lines for no reason at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah,
these old white dudes who I guess were at the tournament and impressed and feel like they need to say good job, Daniel. Like just out of the blue.
I laughed.
Where were they before when he was getting his ass kicked all the time?
Mm-hmm. There was an extra in the passport office that didn't have any lines, but I could not look away from him. Like he had the total 80s outfit, the cheesy mustache, And he was the only one who was acting so incredibly impatient to be there that anytime he was in the background, I couldn't tell you what was going on in the foreground.
Oh, crap. Now I want to see this guy.
Beards were out during this time period, and mustaches were all the rage. And they feel kind of weird now because we're all about the full facial hair right now. And so mustaches feel kind of like they're missing something. Right now,
what is? Go ahead.
I want to correct something that was said a few minutes ago, and I think it's a really fun little bit of trivia and connections. So Sato is played by a Hawaiian actor named Danny Kamakona, and he was on the original Hawaii Five-O. He was not one of the main cast.
He was in
33 episodes. He played several different characters, mainly a character named Shay Fong that they occasionally worked with.
I thought he was the partner, Hawaiian partner guy. I guess
Shin-ho was played by an actor named Cam Fong.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
all Otto Sato's look the same, disgust.
Right, maybe. So anyway, again, his real name is Danny Kamakona, and in the new Hawaii Five-O, there's an actor named Taylor Willie who used to be a sumo wrestler.
Taylor Willie,
big, huge guy in the new Hawaii. If you've seen the new Hawaii Five-O, you know the big informant.
Is he supposed to be the guy he's playing then?
They just decided to name the character Kamakona.
Oh.
After Danny Kamakona.
No. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Oh.
That's nice.
Yeah, he died at the age of 60 in 1996.
Yeah, they found him in his hotel.
Still trying to break that log on the beach.
There's a permit. Yeah. You can only do that so long. 60 is pretty young.
Stuck under a jingle block.
But he's been in a bunch of stuff. A face was very familiar. The voice was not, though. That voice he used was crazy. But I swear I've seen all these guys, including Pat Morita, a bunch of times on MASH. They're all ended up on MASH at one point or another. If you were an Asian-American actor, that was good work.
Mm-hmm. It was.
You got
it. You know,
this
movie makes me always think of the it's a different world, because everything that happens with inside, because Randy had mentioned it earlier, everything that happens within their world is really only a problem within their world. The outside world could really just come in. Cops could come in and just, you know, all right, we're out of here. You're arrested, you know, and could totally change the game. But you have to play within these rules.
And you can't ever leave this tiny little space. Like, they get to town and Sato says, I give you 3 days and then I kill you. And I'm like, okay, so 2.5 days from now, we're going to go 10 miles away.
Right.
And how are you going to find us?
Yeah.
You know, like, everything will be fine.
Well, but if he does that, then he's just proving that he's a coward.
That's right.
But he's been a coward for decades. It doesn't matter. Like, it was so weird to me how we're stuck in this little village and there's a typhoon coming. And not only does no one know about it, no one can escape because I don't know. There's a fence or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Send up the 12-year-old girl to ring the bell in the most dangerous part of town.
You don't think there's actually a siren or anything coming from the base, right? The military base.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because the military was like a category 1 storm to them.
There's zero police or law enforcement. There's zero services like, you know, fire department, any kind of stuff. This guy's threatening this very successful man with his giant mansion somewhere else, his cavalcade of cars and his freaking limo and his schools, his multiple schools of karate that are sprinkled all over the place. And yet he's just going to go ahead and commit murder and throw that all away for a decades old ancient Japanese stupid thing.
You're not even outlining how far that goes.
Yeah.
It's not just that there's no police. This is a place where at the end of the movie, the grudge is gone. We've shaken hands. We're good. We're all good, except that Howard Cosell from Better Off Dead didn't get the memo. And he shows up with a weapon and finds himself getting Daniel's, you know, fur up, and they're going to have a fight in the middle of a circle. Daniel has to throw a bridge down. Like there aren't 100 men who could step over that moat and stop this. They don't need police. They just need to do something.
Yeah.
Like 7 of those guys could have easily put a stop to this. Easily.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And easily. They just all stand around and drum on these little toys.
Yeah.
We got to teach a lesson, man. I like it. Right. I tell you what, though, I give it a hard time. And the movie itself is not a bad movie. I think the primary complaint I think most of us have is that it's just a retelling of the first one. I mean, it's just the same stupid story.
It kind of is. In parts more than others. I still, for some reason, kind of felt like I liked it. Maybe I liked it because the template's okay. Like, it's a template that works or it works on some basic level. But
But weren't you so glad that at the very end that crane kick didn't work?
Oh, dude, no
you
doubt.
Know that that was hilarious because he made Pat
he
Morita
pulls
made
it
a
out
very,
of his quiver so quickly.
He did because at the beginning he's like they even recapped like the only 10 minutes worth of recap they did. One of the things that Miyagi says is there's no defense against the crane kick. You just can't do it. If done properly, it cannot be defended against. Apparently. Daniel not doing it properly.
Yeah.
Because it was right. defended fairly quickly.
Or there's no defense against the crane kick in California.
Yeah.
In right. Okinawa, it's nothing. Oh.
You don't. Yeah. This, here's the deal. You don't blow your ultimate. Now I'm going to use a little Heroes of the Storm reference here.
Yeah.
You don't blow your ultimate the minute you get it.
Right. You wait for the use right that moment. Marquee a little bit later.
Yeah.
But every now. I you
get
know.
That. I get that.
You get it. Totally get it, dude.
And it only can be used when Mr. Miyagi approves of it because he has to look over every time and make sure that Miyagi is shaking his head. Do it now.
Right. Plus the crane stance has a 60-second cooldown. He can't even fire the thing off until it's done.
Well, the problem with the crane kick is that he telegraphs it in for so long. Like there's right, a lot right. of that in this movie with like the long punch and then I'm going to hit and oh, I'm pulling my arm back and now I'm going to hit. But the crane kick is like the ultimate version of that because it's like 4 seconds of guess which foot going. I'm going to kick you with.
the one I'm not balancing on.
Right.
Well, it's amazing.
That was a lot of fun.
Amazing stuff. I like the ending in the sense that it got cheesy and dumb real quick, and the honk in the nose thing is just dumb, and it was dumb.
I like the ending.
Die, man.
I like the ending because it's do you prefer an ending to a movie that ends at the climax, like this movie does, or do you prefer a movie that kind of just, you know, there's like two or three stories after that, like a celebration?
Right.
This movie has climax and then it's over.
This movie could have ended with a formal tea service.
Right.
And, you know, people like you give the audience some more story to go on. How's this all going to play out? Right. But no, it just ends again with the same exact shot of Pat Morita's nog. as the first film,
yep,
you know?
Exactly the same. Fade out, and then, yeah. But the only big difference is Peter Cetera kicked it in there at the end.
I will love that song.
How's that song go? Go, Brian, give it to us.
I can't sing it.
Who will fight for your honor?
Come on, let's do it.
Hearing that with Skype lag was magical.
That song was this movie. That was just. You could not. I can't separate the two.
Yeah, it's hard to, right? Do you guys see B.D. Wong in there? Regular. Yeah, well, he was okay. So B.D. Wong is famous for a couple of things. Mostly famous for them. He's a regular on SVU. He's one of the medical examiner guys on that Law and Order show. Very recognizable there. But he's also the chief scientist working at the park at Jurassic Park, who explains how they get the DNA out of the sapling stuff and turn it into dinosaurs and stuff. That's B.D. Wong.
Okay.
He's also known for a bunch of other like directing stuff, and he's kind of an auteur guy.
He's Law and Order, but I'm sure I know. Looking at him now on IMDb, I know I've seen him in other things for sure.
Yeah, he's cool, but his part in this, and I recorded it, so we'll play it later. But
oh, there we go, Sergeant Louie and Executive Decision.
Mm. Oh, you remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's cool. Yeah.
Cool as a cucumber Asian guy. They used him here terribly, and I'll play that later so you can hear how bad.
I did not realize how many Asian actors they employed on Mulan. I mean, you would think with all the voice acting.
All of them is what they did on Mulan.
Right.
All of them and Eddie Murphy.
And Eddie Murphy.
They had Eddie Murphy. Don't forget they had Donny Osmond sang the part of the male love life guy.
I wanted to forget.
Yeah.
Why did you have to bring him up again?
He's actually, I kind of like that song. I'm not going to lie. But I also like to joke that the part of Genghis Khan was played by Karl Malone, ex-basketball star Karl Malone, only because he looks just like him, but he has nothing to do with this film. Anyway, yeah, everybody's on there. Miyagi's on there. Noodle Folk, what's his name? Him. He's on there. Mm-hmm. Mulan has every Asian actor ever.
And Eddie Murphy.
But they didn't have to look Asian. They just had to sound Asian. So I'm happy that Mulan went that mile.
And one of the Asian characters was played by the least Asian person that has ever lived, Harvey Fierstein.
That's right. I forgot. The squatty little guy that was in the military. Oh my gosh, dude, that was a dumb choice. And then the other one was, there was somebody else. The other one's like that. Okay, now, sorry, we're going down this trap.
We gotta watch Mulan. That could be our.
You think
our
that could be an
animated film?
I'd be all right with that.
It's horrible. I think we're gonna do
Pocahontas if we're gonna do a.
No. Mulan is just dripping with sexism and bad jokes that don't land where they aim. It's just perfect.
So this is a great list. I'm gonna read these. These are all mostly Asian actors, but tell me when you hear one that isn't in Mulan. Ming-Na Wen. All right, we know her. We like her. Leah Selong, whatever. She's the singing voice of Mulan. June Foray. That's not a very Asian voice or name, but she's very Asian. She plays Grandmother Fa. Soon Tek Oh. That's very Asian. Frida Fo Shen. James Hong. B.D. Wong. Donnie Osmond. Bing, 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 bing.
One of these things is not like the others.
Yeah. The funny thing is a lot of these, I would say most of these, are American-born folks, and they're faking faking accents.
But it's, badly.
Meh, I don't know. I feel like you get a pretty good Pat Morita knows what he's doing.
Sure, but freaking Harvey Fierstein doesn't.
Oh no, he sucks. I'm sorry, you shouldn't say Harvey Fierstein sucks. He is in one of the best Simpsons episodes ever made.
another white dude inexplicably doing Asian voice in Mulan is Frank Welker. I love Frank Welker. He can be in anything, but he shouldn't have been doing this. It's just not. It doesn't work.
I did not know what did he do in there.
Just one of those many different soldiers.
Mulan. I just want to look at this now because now it's going to bug me. Got to hear it. Got to find out. Here it is. Here's a video. Here's Frank Welker doing Mulan. He's the matchmaker. Okay? So here you go.
Ah, Mulan. Anwesend. Redet ohne Erlaubnis. Oops.
This is not it.
What does that sound like it?
That is not.
There's a German cut.
I'm going to say that is not it. I'm going to say that I can find no others. So there you have it.
Okay.
Rabbit hole gone down. Found nothing down there. Okay. All right.
Yep. Okay.
I like how they made Japan seem like southern China, like kind of draconian and militaristic. It is really nothing like that. I flew there. There was nothing like that in Tokyo. And I'm sure.
Well, but this is intended to be Okinawa, right?
And yeah, but is it that different? I mean,
it's supposed to still be overrun with American soldiers, you know, ruining everything in the 80s.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
no,
we've lost Brian Dunaway. His internet just went down.
Again?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm going to pause and save. Okay, we're back. Sorry, we never went anywhere. What was somebody saying?
Randy was...
You were explaining Okinawa would be different.
Oh, right, yeah. They're just playing on a really common conception that in the 50 years after the end of World War II, Okinawa was overrun with American soldiers and they were ruining the place. Mm. And it's kind of true.
Is it true today? Is it still the same? Do we know?
No. We have the Americans. There's still some presence, but the Americans have pulled way back during the 90s.
Yeah. Well, that's what you want. You want us out of there, damn it. Why would you want us to stay around? I mean, really.
But we brought all of our sock hop stuff with us, so, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Apparently in 1986, it was still the 50s in Okinawa.
Right.
Well, totally. What else here? The dancing girl scene in the village was hard for me to watch. I didn't want to watch her do that
was
anymore.
Was it a moment of uncomfortability? Or
I don't know.
It just seems so out of place because he's talking about, you know, trying to do the drum. And he's like, oh, you know, just trying to work out my moves or trying to work out this thing. Oh, it's like this. And she does her little dance.
Yeah,
you couldn't see me doing it here in the studio. But
can we talk just a second about how stupid it is to only have one technique? Yeah, just to have one thing. Just
One move to beat them all.
One move,
Whether it's the crane or the drum or whatever,
Right. Is this going to come up? And I mean, at least the crane kind of seemed like you might not see that coming. But, you know, the drum is just basically you turning back and forth, back and forth.
And apparently once you land the first punch, you have to punch 13 more times and your opponent just takes it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just,
not expecting that.
Back and forth, yeah.
And the idea that you're going to, you know, again, mini Daniel, big Miyagi, same scene. Guy's got a giant log on him.
Right.
Says, now you're such a coward, you can only kill me because I have this log on me. He looks like he's going to kill him, but instead he breaks the log and saves him. And then later, instead of killing him, even though he said I'd prefer death, he squeezes his nose and says honk.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Do you know what I find the most disappointed about this movie?
What?
is the fact that I'm not 13 anymore. Because when I was 13, I could totally, and I did, I was probably around 13 when this first came out, and I could totally buy into and believe that you could learn one move.
Hold on, let's do some role playing. You're 13, okay, I'm your mom. Ready?
Right.
Today's the day I'm going to tell you that you're going to get to see this movie, and I want to see what kind of excitement you have. I want you to really get into the role. You ready? Here we go.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, open your door. It's early in the morning.
What, Ma?
No, I say, hold on. You don't get up yet. I have to wake you up. I go.
No, I'm already up.
I go, Brian, wakey, wakey, hands off Snakey. Then what do you do?
Mom, you're so stupid.
Well, you're going to quit. If you keep saying that, you're not going to get to see Karate Kid 2 today.
Whatever, you didn't take me to see Star Trek. Why would you take me to see Karate Kid?
Listen, you little shit. There's something floating in the toilet right now, and if you don't go clean that out, you're out of the family.
Fine. Just leave me alone.
And scene.
I hate you so much.
It's scene, Brian. Don't relive it. Everything's fine now. You can come out of it. You don't have to keep going.
What just happened?
We did a role play. It was too common.
It was too real, right?
It was too real. Struck a real chord with everybody. Anyway, so what else? Is there anything else? What else is there to say?
Well, okay. So I do want to talk. I mentioned it in my opener that we called this Karate Kid Part 2. And I was trying to think. It kind of became a trend.
We didn't call it that. The movie called it that, for the record.
But it was named. It was officially titled on the posters and all the official merchandise and everything else. When did that become a trend? Because, I mean, you didn't call it part and then the number. You just called it Godfather 2 or whatever up until that point. And then we got into the Back to the Future part 2, and we started putting part in all of our – is that still something
today? I'll have you know the poster says The Godfather Part 2.
Does it say part two?
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at the poster.
Maybe I just dropped it out of my memory then.
What was the most recent part two that you can think of?
Usually it's a joke. Usually if they put part two on it now, it's just a cliche. It's a joke.
Or it's everything, like The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2.
Oh, you know? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and Harry Potter.
And the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
But it's so subdued. It seemed like it was just such a big part back then. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rock and Roll Part 2.
Yeah. Right. Part 2, baby. Rock and Roll Part 2.
I mean, what happened to things like Star Wars? And they didn't call it Star Wars Part 2. They may have had a part on it, but they officially said Empire Strikes Back. Sure. And then Return of the Jedi.
Sure. They said episodes, though, right?
Right.
Episode 4. Well, they didn't start until...
It seems cheesy.
All the Hobbit movies had individual names. All the Lord of the Rings movies had individual names. Mm-hmm. It's when you have to take one book and split it into two movies that they bring out the part.
Here comes the part.
I don't know. I don't think there's really much there. Like The Hangover Part 2. That's the name of the movie. It sucked. You know, you didn't need
it The Hangover Part 2? I guess it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't need to put the word part there to tell me that it was the sequel to the first one, so I don't know why they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And what's the most recent movie you can think of where the second movie begins? And again, you can't count things like Mockingjay and the last Harry Potter, but where the second movie begins right when the first movie ends, like
A literal carryover from
exactly.
Well, this movie. So they started shooting 10 days after. So you're right to use this as an example. I wonder. I'm trying to think of others where it was like right after. So again, Rocky V, right?
Right.
Because
true story.
He was in the gym, sitting there right after the match, and then another example might be.
I feel like I saw a Muppet movie last year that started at the end of the previous one.
An older Muppet movie.
No, just last year.
No, I mean, the new Muppets. The new Muppet movie. Okay.
And it's like it's a Ricky Gervais movie, and it starts with, like the moments after the ending of the previous Muppets movie, which
it does, and then it goes on to Tina Fey. Yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't remember
Muppets
that.
Most Wanted.
Is that what it's called?
Oh my God! I found a list. Hold on a second here.
Oh, there's a list. It's already been compiled for us.
Immediate sequel. Hold on. Here we go.
Okay. That is a trope.
Back to the Future is a good example.
Okay. Okay. Which one? Two?
Well, Back to the Future 2 begins, you know, with...
Literally, he's trying to walk back into the house. And
right, exactly. And Doc Brown shows up. It's your kids, Marty. Here, yeah. Throw some garbage in the Mr. Coffee machine on my blah, blah, blah.
Mr. Fusion.
Yeah. And then they flew off. Okay, that's a good one. I forgot about that.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Halloween, Hatchet, Lord of the Rings.
Hatchet.
You know what? Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 is an immediate sequel.
Oh, right. There we go. Iron Man 2 starts as Ivan Vanko watches as Tony Stark admits on camera to being Iron Man at the end of the first movie.
Oh.
Very good.
Yeah.
That looks like Porky's, the Bourne series.
Porky's yes. 2 is called The Next Day. That's the name of Porky's 2.
Is it really so called The Next Day? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's called Porky's 2 The Porky's Next Day. This is the next day. The trope we're talking about.
That's amazing.
Oh, look at Waxwork. Waxwork 2, Lost in Time, starts immediately after the first film.
Ah, is a little midget going, welcome to the Waxwork.
Yeah,
I hope so.
James Bond, Quantum of Solace, follows immediately from Casino Royale.
Yeah, because he's still chasing after the girl, right?
Right.
There you go. That's
great.
Yeah.
Everybody see the teaser for James Bond?
Yeah, it looks great.
No, yes. James Bond or Mission Impossible?
James Bond Spectre. I think they both look fine.
I didn't see the James Bond.
The Mission Impossible one looks a little too many stunts for my taste for one teaser. I think they went a little bit overboard, but I really like the subtleness of the James Bond teaser. It looks like we're creeping around, and that's obviously what's his name. Listen, Django, the need for you to kill men for me is very important.
Yeah. But can we just all agree? You saw a Mission Impossible trailer, you saw a James Bond trailer, and neither one gave any indication of the presence of Benedict Cumberbatch. Hallelujah!
Oh, that's good. Yeah, he's not in either one of those things.
I can't believe he's not in either.
But if you're
going
to keep Christoph Waltz in a shadow, don't have him talk, because I know that voice out of anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, hello, Mr. Bond.
It's good to see you. I'm glad you could come in here.
Yeah, you can sit down. We will have conversation. Is that it's that happy German voice.
Right, exactly.
Oh gosh, nice. That's great.
So the immediate sequel was that on The Karate Kid? Was that intentional because we thought that Ralph Macchio might age faster than he actually did?
That's a good question. That's a good question, because he's like 25 by now or something.
Right. But you know, we got the new Karate Kid, the reboot, and it's been like 2011 since we've seen Will Smith's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, can I have the most basic trope ever?
Yeah.
This is
here. Hold on. Oh, here. Go.
Dude, at the end of the first Karate Kid movie, Daniel's son only wins because he finds a way to fight through basically getting his knee broke. Mm-hmm. Like, what that kid does to him is brutal. Daniel's son's writhing around. There's no way that within a day he's walking onto an airplane. There's no way that, you know,
that was actually six months later. The immediate sequel is right at the beginning, but then there was like a little transition where it was 6 months later.
They said that on the screen?
Yeah, it says six months later.
When Miyagi's doing his little chopstick fly thing, it says six months later.
Oh, see, I like this much better when that's just the very next day.
Karate Kid 2, the next day.
Right, why did we have to give it 6 months? Okay, but it does explain Daniel's son falling.
I'm just wondering why when you win the Triwizard Tournament karate thing, you don't get your own shower. Like, you have to shower in a room with about 45 other people.
And
none of
adults
which like
can just come and
top.
Go?
Yeah.
Yeah, you almost saw Man Wiener in that scene at the beginning of the movie, by the way.
Were you really working so hard you needed to take a shower there? You couldn't leave. Let's just get out of here.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that was weird.
It is weird. Like, after a tournament like that, all right, everybody in the shower, all simultaneously.
You don't do that. And also having him, like someone said, you don't have him standing there against a pillar telling funny Chinese jokes.
By the end of the last match, there's only two people who haven't showered.
Right. Right, exactly.
Miyagi and Window Puncher.
You include get a body bag.
Yeah.
Get a body bag.
Well, I wonder, so we don't know, the blonde kid doesn't turn up again in 3, does he? Does he ever make a comeback, the original?
Zabka.
Yeah.
Zabka.
I wonder.
Not sure.
Yeah. Time will tell.
I'm looking right now.
We got.
It's not listed.
Nope. I don't think he's in there. I think we're done with Blondie.
Yeah.
Done.
That's all right.
That's it.
He's moved on.
He's been harmed irreparably by that Joe Piscopo looking bad guy.
Right.
So can we talk about Kumiko's hair?
Yeah.
Sure.
What That whole movie, I couldn't. It was fine. It was so weird.
It was just wispy for the middle of the 80s.
Right. Those little stringy bangs all over the place.
My Korean sister had those in her face every day. It was the thing.
And
then.
Didn't it drive her crazy?
Yes, and it drove us crazy, as I recall. I don't think we liked it either.
Hey, can I ask a cultural question that I probably just don't get? Were those chopsticks in her hair that she was holding that up with? And can you make sure that you distinguish that this is a hair chopstick and not an eating chopstick? I mean, because
or a fly catching chopstick. I love how Miyagi catches the fly and then puts the chopsticks back into the
lets the fly go. Apparently, when you catch a fly, you don't crush it. It's fine.
Yeah. Right.
They sure put that away quick too, because remember in the first movie he could never catch it, but Daniel did by fluke once.
Right.
And he was pissed.
You begin a look.
And this one caught it right away and then didn't even gloat about it.
Just let it fly off.
Yeah. What's the point of that? At least eat it or do something.
Because he is now the student. You get it?
Uh-huh.
Weird. That's
I
weird.
See they've reversed roles. Maybe that was a foreshadowing of the entire movie.
Oh, which reminds me, I've spent days wondering what the hell happened to that car? Daniel's son comes driving in. The car is wrecked.
She wrecked it. Remember, that's the reason why they broke up. Elizabeth Shue.
Well, the reason they broke up was because she was falling in love with a football player.
Well, that's true, but she messed up the car, and he doesn't even know what's wrong with the engine. You can't fix that. I'm a whiner. You can't fix that.
You can't fix that. I just drove it here, but how'd you get it started?
I don't know what was going on. I guess
I missed a line because I that whole scene, my mouth is wide open. I'm like, what'd you do to the car?
Yeah, he was ranting. He apparently let her drive it or something, and she screwed up the bumper. And it was apparently a very bad date. Bad date, Indy.
Yeah, bad date. Bad date, Daniel. Yeah, that's that whole thing. Like, that's another trope that I don't even know if there's a name for it, but it's an Indiana Jones problem. You know, you've got what's her name in the first movie, and then you're like, who the hell is this?
Revolving girlfriends. I hate it.
I don't like it in sequels. I don't.
It pisses me off. And I almost didn't watch, and this is so stupid. I almost just stopped watching the second Austin Powers movie when they turned Elizabeth Hurley into a fembot.
Yep.
And why would I be so mad about that? I don't know.
It's the same principle, though. See, like in the Indiana Jones one, it's bad because Marion and Indy went through some stuff. They have seen. Right. The backside of hell and come out of it. They closed their eyes, Marion. Close your eyes. And she closed them and she didn't get all zapped like a bunch of Nazis or have her face melted off like the two other dudes. So she had seen some things with him, been through some serious business, left in the desert with a bunch of disappeared Nazis wondering why that thing. They've seen supernatural things come out of that thing. They even went to the place and argued with Porkins about whether or not top men were guarding the thing. And after all of that,
just blown away opening scene of the very next movie just gone.
Well, no, the second movie takes place before the first.
No.
Yes.
Hold the phone.
Temple of Doom takes place before Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's the chronology?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I don't think I knew this either. Hold on.
Chronology?
You just blew my mind because I have never understood that.
Timeline of the films. Here we go. 1908, My First Adventure, Passion for Life. Okay, this is doing some of the young Indiana Jones stuff. Then we get into 1912. Oh, all your minds are about to be blown. 1912, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's the
The opening part with him on the train is him as a kid in 1912.
Okay, the prologue, you're right. All right, I got scared for a minute. All right, let me skip ahead because I was going to say, freaking 1912, freaking Hitler was in that. All right, so I'm skipping ahead. These are all episodes. I don't care about any of these. I want just the movies. Hold on. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, 1935. Raiders of the Lost Ark, 36.
Yeah.
Last Crusade, 38. Holy shit.
I have never known that. Ibbot, how did you have this knowledge?
How have you not just been? Don't you have a regular place at the street corner?
It doesn't really come up in just regular conversation. Hey, did you know that?
But when did you discover that? Like when you watched it the first time?
When we were in the theater, my uncle leaned over to me and said, "Oh, this movie takes place in 1935. The last one took place in 1936. Guess Indy's not going to die at the end of this one."
So it says. It has the names at the bottom.
It says Shanghai 1935 on the screen.
Shit.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to that when I was that young.
No, right? Like, I could sit there and go, like the sequel I saw, like, years later. I'm like, come on.
Oh, my gosh. My mind is seriously blown. I also feel like an idiot. I feel like that's something I should have known. That really
bugs
me. No,
Scott, you shouldn't, because that makes me an idiot.
I would have picked up on it had George not leaned over to me and mentioned, as like, oh, okay.
Your uncle is George Costanza?
Yes. I like that your uncle leaned over and literally said, I guess Indy's not going to die in this one.
He said it jokingly.
I mean, right.
But still, yes, exactly. It's like,
that is so funny.
Yep.
By the way, there's one other time set after Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which was 57. There's something set in 1992 to 93. Yes.
And that was part of the Indiana Jones Chronicles, and it's Indiana Jones in a museum recounting his adventures. I think it's the scene that sets up young Indiana Jones.
Oh, interesting.
So wait, he's not one of the characters that's in A Night at the Museum, is he? He's not the original security guard.
My timelines
are museum, Dad.
My timelines are all screwed up now.
Right.
Well, let's see. Yeah, that's all there is there. That's fantastic. Brian, you win. You win.
Yeah, no doubt.
You win the internet today, because seriously, I had no idea about that. I feel like
maybe that was a reason to have Willie Scott be the love interest instead of Marion, and they could come back to Marion later on.
They did in the
Crystal Skull. Yeah. Right.
Next time I watch these movies, I'm going to watch them out of order just for fun. Not out of order, but out of release order. Watch them in
chronological order. Out of order.
Sure. Somebody's got like all those DVDs from the young freaking show. I'll bet they just.
Oh, geez. And put all that in.
Can you imagine?
No, the effort. Oh, God.
And you can only pay.
With Pulp Fiction once. I actually this was on Laserdisc.
Yeah.
Laserdisc and VCR. I recut Pulp Fiction to be in the right order.
Yeah, they hear.
So when I was about 23, I went to a garage sale and bought all the Star Wars books. There was a person selling all the novels, every Star Wars book.
TIE Fighter, Thrawn, all that stuff.
So kind many of
useless
of them.
Now.
Yeah. At least 18 books, but maybe more. And I then spent so long putting them in chronological order before reading them, because it was just, they were all over the place.
Yeah. And I had to Splinter in the Mind's Eye and Han Solo at Star's End.
Yeah. It was crazy. I remember, and some of it, like, I guess the internet wasn't good for this back then, because I remember just looking at the books one by one.
Where would you go to a bulletin board and find out information? That's not going to happen.
I'm picturing Randy's house with a bulletin board with all the things connected with red yarn.
Yarn right between. I love that idea.
Don't Luke and Leia kind of hook up in Splinter in the Mind's Eye? Because it was before the whole brother-sister thing.
You're right. They do, dude.
I remember for sure is the first one was the Paradise Snare. I know that without a doubt. I remember it. and I started reading, and it was like Paradise Snare, Hutt Gambit, Rebel Dawn, you know, and those were before the movie books.
Right.
And then Shadows of the Empire was in between Empire and Return of the Jedi. And then a lot of books. It was like 26 books.
Yeah. All gone now. all non-canon.
All erased from existence.
Yep. Forget they ever happened. There is no blue guy named Thrawn. Forget about him. Dude, which is really sad, because that guy was great.
Stop saying things that break my mind.
I don't want to break your heart. Your heart and your mind. All right, we should do some clips. I've got a bunch, and they start with this one here, which is not coming up for some reason. There we go. This is flashback bully time, just to remember what the old movie was like. Here you go.
Johnny, leave him alone, man. He's had enough.
Hold aside when he's had enough, man.
What is wrong with you, Johnny?
An enemy deserves no mercy.
Right!
No mercy!
Right!
Yeah, they just ripped the film right out of the old one.
Mm-hmm. No mercy.
Movie could have used about a half hour trimming, I think. I think it was about that much too long, and I think getting rid of that stuff might have helped. Here's some shower scenes. Hot, sweaty shower scenes. Here you go.
Hey, Mr. Miyagi, you know I was thinking.
About what, Daniel-san?
That maybe we should have a strategy now, you know?
For what?
My future, my whole tournament career.
Forget my doodles.
Hello,
hanging
Cleveland.
Out.
Cleveland! Sounds like they're on stage.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. All right, here's your jive talking one more time.
Hey, man, what you doing to the brother?
I love that. Love it. That feels out of time. That feels like 10 years too late. I don't know why, but whatever. I guess people are still jive talking in 86. Kids from Reseda.
All right, yeah, man. Oh, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Oh, yeah? Where are you from?
Reseda.
I'm from Reseda.
Right.
I moved there a couple months ago.
Do kids ever get that excited about yelling in unison that they're from Reseda?
Yeah, not wouldn't be excited about being from Reseda, kids.
Nope.
Just last night, I was driving through Reseda. It's a nice place. I don't understand that. It must have been different in the 80s.
I think it's gentrified a bit over the last couple decades, like everything does. It's like Oakland. Everyone thinks Oakland's all hard and bad A, and it's mostly for old people now.
Shout out to people out in the valley. That I, you know, big wide streets, tall trees.
Yeah.
Film crews sitting around filming Modern Family and stuff.
Dirty hookers, all of them.
Actually, there's no way Modern Family is filmed out there, but I saw lots and lots of trailers and trucks and tried to imagine what they're filming out in the suburbs.
It's always fun. I found a clip here of it's old audio, apparently from like 86, but it's Ibbot's mom when Ibbot came home from a date.
All right.
Yeah, cool. This is your mother when you got home late one night. Mama. Here you go.
Oh, it must have been some senior prom. What happened?
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, my mom was quite the smoker.
Yeah. She had that accent. It was uncanny. All right, how about this one about Jack? Oh, who's that? I like that. Who's that?
The heck just happened?
I don't know.
Well, we know it was me.
Was that you?
Stop yeah. touching your
I'll
iPad.
I'll get those
stop
insert
it.
Reports for you if I can use your phone.
This is weird. I can't touch anything while we record anymore. Yeah. Anything
that's
I touch.
That's a good plan. Stop touching yourself. Yeah.
Hands off.
Feedback.
Wiener. Hands off, wiener. All right, here you go.
Come, take off jacket. You try.
I like that. Come, take off jacket. You try. Jerky lady at the gate.
Oh, closing the doors.
All righty.
Come on. Please. I'm afraid you'll have to go back to the gate, young man.
Young man, coming with us.
I don't think people at the gate ever do that.
No.
So angry.
Especially the fact that he's holding a ticket. I love the way, by the way, she stares at that ticket.
Once
he hands it to her, she stares at it like it's the Shroud of Turin.
Right.
She was perplexed. How could this little Reseda boy afford a ticket to Okinawa?
I mean, he looks Italian. How is this possible?
This is possible.
Yeah, that was great.
So then they get on the plane, and there's three seats.
Yep.
And my urinal logic kicks in.
Yep.
And I do not understand why they're sitting next to each other with the extra seat on the aisle. I don't understand. I can't stop thinking about that. Why is Miyagi in the middle seat?
You never do that. Not in the seats we have on planes today anyway. Why would you ever, ever not want to have that buffer in the middle?
Right.
Even if you could be newlyweds.
Especially if he's going to be reading the whole damn time.
Yeah.
He's got his light on. I'll take the aisle seat and then you can read.
Ask annoying questions.
Shut up.
I don't see it. What's the name of it again?
This thing?
No, I still don't see it. Here, you take a look. Do you see it, man? Now let's get the flight attendant over here. Do you see it?
No, young man. You should be in prison by now. How do you know who wins is what I wrote. I don't know what this is.
How do you know who wins?
The one who did doesn't.
Oh, that's some dark business.
But that's not what I asked. I asked who. How do you know who wins?
Yeah.
Not who doesn't win.
And why,
stop with your double talk.
Why is this even remotely acceptable to you? Well, why wouldn't you also say, well, they fight to the death in Okinawa, which I do not accept.
Yeah.
This is a really bad thing.
It's a weird premise.
Mm-hmm. He's just like, fight to the death. You know. Yeah.
Like it happens all the time. No big
That's
deal.
That's what we do. It's what we do.
This guy rules, in my opinion. Here's him.
So, coward, you return
to settle affairs with father.
And with me. Do you know where I can get a lozenge?
Cookie Monster.
Bendaru.
He's about to announce the ingredient in the chef competition.
Right, yeah. Early 80s.
Artichoke.
Oh, early 80s,
Michael Buffer.
Yeah, I love that. All right, here's something else. I don't know.
You see your father. Then you see me.
And he tried to cough up phlegm.
I always think of this is because I'm morbid this way, but he was 10 years from dying right then in that movie. Did you know that?
Wow.
Yeah. You never know when you don't have 10 years left. Think of it that way.
Right, right.
Live for today. Here's another one. Okay, I call that the Asian giggling girl stereotype, where school kids giggle because some boy is waving.
Their mouths?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're holding going, with their hand over their mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, I freaking hate that. Has anyone ever done that in real life? Have you ever seen anyone in real life do that? No is the answer.
No.
It must be an actual thing, or like someone was influenced to put that on film.
I don't know. I think it's just an easy thing to think. Oh, isn't it embarrassing? A boy waved at our teacher. Tee hee hee. That's that, and because also I think it's almost a little racist because it's like the only time you ever see this happen, it's never a gaggle of white kids in Connecticut who are giggling and covering their mouths.
Right.
It's always some little Asian kids.
Yeah.
Or little black kids or something. Anyway. I don't know why I'm getting so worked up. I don't actually care that
much. I don't either, but I'm going to touch this outlet. Hold on. Ooh. That is so weird. Okay, go ahead.
Touch this out. Yeah! Touch this out sounded dirty.
I'd love for Randy to be electrocuted right here on the show.
Right?
That'd be great.
Right.
I was just touching an outlet.
Then we can never see Shocked on the show because we'll feel too bad.
That's a great movie.
It is a good movie.
I love how Film Sack would go on after my death.
Yeah.
You would just have certain things you couldn't watch.
Yeah, we couldn't watch Shocked. What else? There's other electrocutey things we couldn't see.
Electrocutey movies.
Hey, that Spider-Man.
Watch Back to the Future. How many you could watch killed Randy?
Spectacular Spider-Man 2. Sorry. It's got that Shocker guy in it. Forget it.
Oh, that's right.
What's his name? I can't think of his name.
Shocker. Mitch Pileggi?
No. Who's the Shocker guy in the Spider-Man movie, the newer one?
Oh, Electro.
Electro, that's it.
Well, there was also a Shocker, and it's funny because it's funny how Chosen's outfit at the end reminds me of the Shocker, that yellow thing with the quilted diamond pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
it's very Shocker-esque.
Totally.
It is, and it's Mortal Kombat. Hey, Chosen, really?
Yeah, Chosen. Scorpion. I was just going to say, Chosen, what is up
Chosen
with that
Chosen with
name?
A Z?
Come on, dude. Chosen. That's like the Hosen in World of Warcraft, little monkeys. Here's the music. So here's some of the music. I'm telling you right now, the music worked for me. I didn't have a problem with any of it.
It was okay, but it was a little bit sometimes. I was like, oh my God, here they go with this again. Do they even need music right here? We get it. They're not in America.
Yeah, but at least they didn't do some synthy garbage. You know, they went with orchestrated, you know, actual instruments. It wasn't some terrible 80s. Sounding, you know, we built this city kind of thing, which is nice. Except for the Peter Cetera bit, but that was just in the credits.
Man, whoever popped the top off that beer, that thing went flying.
It was in my water bottle. I just dropped it. Dumbass.
All right.
Standing desks, man, you got to be careful. The things you drop from this great height, it's crazy.
Right over.
Here's a still wise moment.
Miyagi said that to father when same thing happened. Father agreed he was stupid. Father was right.
That's when they're dodging the super dangerous fish hooks that are some reason suspended up in the air that can be pulled with
But you could just press a button and they start falling right at your face.
Yep. Gosh. Yep. Most dangerous place ever.
There were no other holes in that sign.
Right.
Until they start putting holes in there.
Right. There were no holes there because the falling 20-pound hooks had always been stopped by someone else.
Right.
We this lost a lot of villager that way.
Yeah.
First hook, then everything else. Then
bottom line, not as good as the one-legged crane kick. Not even close.
30-second typhoon. That'd kill everyone else. Everybody die. Oh, and then feud. Feud kill the rest.
Big wind come up.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Brother feud, big wind, and stupid hook thing. Here's your worth listening to. I don't know why I wrote. I don't know what this is.
I only hear what's worth listening to.
Oh, it was something about his voice. Let me hear that one more time.
I only hear what's worth listening to.
That didn't sound like him to me.
It's like he's going through puberty there.
Yeah, that's a real Wesley Crusher sound.
Puberty at 28. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
80s as hell, this part.
Ready, set, the goal. Hey.
Oh, that.
Only Peter Cetera could turn the word ago into a three-syllable word.
Go.
And her at the beginning, what does she say? Hold on.
Ready, set, the go.
Ready, set, the go.
Ready, set, up, go. There's no B in ready, set, go, dadgummit.
No, there's not. Not to be.
Now, this is all great fun, but I was of a certain age at this time in our history, and oh my God, was that music important?
No, I loved, I loved Chicago and Peter Cetera for a while. I mean, it was all the slow dances. There were always girls involved. Like, it was a big deal. Yeah. It's like Lady in Red. You don't, it's kind of terrible, but at the time, that seemed important. I'm with you.
I bonded with friends over the album Chicago 17 and then lost others who didn't like it.
Well, see, you picked your side. You held your ground. Paying for it now.
Yeah, it's a way to hold your ground.
Yeah, good job. BD Wong talks. Here's BD Wong.
Komiko-chan, come to the dance tonight.
Oh, good.
Oh, bring your friend.
Okay.
Good. See you there.
Bring your friend. Come to the dance tonight.
Poorly dubbed Jackie Chan movie.
It was really bad. I mean, that's BD Wong, but it's just
bring your friend to do.
It's, yeah.
Now, was that BD Wong? Because I thought that was like a.
I think it sounded like him. Yeah. I think the voice is right. That's totally him. But he did it later. I'm not saying he did it on set there. There's no way. The uncle says something.
My uncle said, your 3 days mourning over. I have been sent to get you.
Tell uncle I am farmer, not fighter.
Not fighter.
And which kicked off the horrible beating of the plants the next 30 minutes.
The farms, yes.
And that's one of two scenes where this gang of young guys just tear up stuff. Mm-hmm. That's, you can't get all worked up poking holes in the side of a wall.
I agree.
You just can't.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Plus, they look like 80s Yakuza, and I don't like that look. Not a fan of it. Like silk shirts and white pants and like wingtips. I don't like that.
Let's watch this young challenger as he picks up a bonsai tree and hurls it at the ground.
That is the best part of that guy. Bar none. All right. I sell land. What?
I sell land.
Oh, okay. Just what I said. He sells land.
So I sell land.
Yeah, land.
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 So, okay, he sold the land, and I tried to figure this out. I'm like, okay. Okay, so did he already sell the land? Then he can't take it back. So, land, excuse me. And so, yeah, I don't understand if he's already sold the land, and but then he immediately says, no, I'll sign the village over. So which is it?
No,
which
look, it started out as selling the land, then you resell the land, which eventually get translated to Chinese, then Japanese, into laundry. So that's how Chinese laundry. See, I came all the way around for that one. There you go.
But that's an ancient Chinese secret that no one's telling.
Silly.
I sell land.
All right, great. How about this one?
You will destroy village? No. You will.
You will.
You will. You will.
Not me.
He's so pissed. Freaking love that guy.
You will.
All right, how about...
so Cookie Monster.
You will give me Cookie.
Especially this way, listening to it instead of seeing him.
Yeah.
It's really Cookie Monster.
Here's one more bit, I think.
Live or die, man.
Okay, so he's asking live or die, man, and then does this. Honk. There you go. That's it.
Honk. Once again, repeating what Master has shown him.
And that's all that matters in the end. Let's do the checklist. Bad guy has a Batman voice. Check. No wonder no one is moving to that village. They go from zero to level 9 typhoon in 15 seconds. Check. And finally, more Daniel soccer mom high pants, please. Check. Okay, great. Trek stuff. So there's a couple of them. Lee Arnone played the stewardess, the one that was like, I'm sorry, young man, you're going to have to leave. She played the Starfleet librarian aboard the USS Enterprise E in Star Trek Insurrection, a film. But her scene was removed and cut in the final film. But was included.
It's unnecessary.
It is in the special edition, so you can get it there. George O'Hanlon Jr. Or George O'Hanlon Jr. was in it. He wants to know where he can get those guns. He's a soldier. He's the soldier that was yelling in the car, the hick guy at the beginning of the show.
I don't know where that is.
Oh, yeah.
It's been behind me this whole time.
I'm standing on it.
Yeah. He played a transporter chief in the episode Future Imperfect in 1990 in TNG. He is the son of actor George O'Hanlon, who is best known as the voice of George Jetson.
Oh, get out of here. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's really cool trivia.
Yeah. Weird. He's not really got much of a career, but it's still it's a cool thing.
It's an interesting one.
Soundtrack, great. I give it an NB for not bad. I think the soundtrack's fine. Maybe a little over the top on the
Peter Cetera.
Yeah, that.
Flute music.
And the flute, yeah, maybe. But overall, right. I think it's fine. It kind of held up for me. I think it was all right. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys in 140 characters or less sum this damned thing up. Let's start with Randy.
The Karate Kid Part 2. just like the first Karate Kid, only with less white boys, more hand chopping, less mothers, more typhoons, less waxing, and more Miyagi.
Wow, that was great.
Did you have to put those, like, that Miyagi part in little Cookie Monster brackets?
It's kind of hard to write it out. Yeah.
To highlight it on the page in blue. Dunaway, give me yours.
Yes, The Karate Kid, part two. Just like Rules from the Dojo, sometimes number two just points back to number one, you know, in case you forgot.
I know what you're saying. I know what you mean.
Rule number two says, see back to number one.
Nice. Brian Ibbett.
It sounds like Randy and I wrote ours together. Karate Kid Part 2, 100% of the action from the first film and 0% of the Oscar-nominated actresses in supporting roles.
It's kind of like Scott put you guys' hands together and made you make up.
And then died.
Yeah.
And then died.
Didn't Miyagi, we talked about this on the first one, didn't he win, Pat Morita won for Best Supporting Actor that year, didn't he? Wasn't that a win for him?
Did he?
I know he was nominated. Right. He was nominated. Pat Morita.
But that Oscar. Sounds so very wrong.
Well, it happens all the time.
Like, because I think that was a pretty good role.
People think this way about Forrest Gump now. They look back and go, okay, really? We're giving it to him for playing basically a kind of...
He was, yeah. In the first movie, he was nominated for Best Actor in a Supporting Role.
Did he win, though?
Who is up? Doc Brown? Him?
He
who else?
Did not win. Yeah.
He didn't win. Nice. He won.
He did not. Supporting role was.
Who got it? That
it is. Where the heck is it? Actor supporting role. Killing Fields. Hang Noor.
Oh, he was good.
He was up against Ralph Richardson for Greystoke, John Malkovich in Places of the Heart, and Adolf Caesar in A Soldier's Story.
Adolf Caesar.
That old Adolf Caesar. How's he doing? He's doing pretty good these days.
Doing real good. Really wishing he didn't have those two names.
Oh, this is embarrassing. In 85, nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a Supporting Role, Karate Kid, 84, right? Razzie Awards in 1990, nominated for Worst Supporting Actor, The Karate Kid, Part 3.
Nice. I'm glad he didn't win The Karate Kid.
Didn't he have an apartment, too? He was out of that. He wasn't in that same house he was in, right? In the first and second Karate Kid movies?
No, why is that?
Didn't Seagal's little underling come in and destroy it? Isn't that what happened to that?
Is that what happened?
I'm looking forward to watching Karate Kid Part 3 with you guys.
We're
going
to have to do it now. I don't want to, but we're going to have to.
We have to, yeah.
And then we'll see that other one with the other. And they're all on Netflix, all of them, just steaming up the joint.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that Razzie Awards for that year for Karate Kid Part 3 was the same year as Star Trek V, Lockup. Roadhouse, and Speed Zone.
Ugh.
What
Speed Zone?
What a year for the Razzies!
What is a speed? Wow. What is Speed Zone?
Oh, really?
Speed Zone.
Star Trek cleaned up too.
Yeah. Well, it was terrible. It was really bad.
Yeah.
That was a bad, bad movie.
Speed Zone. John Candy, the Smothers Brothers.
Shit.
I'm not making
up. Like a Cannonball Run knockoff.
Never even heard of this.
It's about a car race.
That sounds
right,
bad.
Right.
I think that's as bad as...
It's also titled Cannonball Fever, apparently.
Oh my gosh, really? Nice. Renamed so maybe it wasn't... I was going to say, was it like just another in the Cannonball series? And they just renamed something else?
This cast list, though, yeah. I mean, John Candy, Donna Dixon, Matt Frewer.
Mm. Donna Dixon.
What the heck?
What just happened?
This is Film Sack Tourette's, is what we like to call it.
No, I know what Brian Dunaway's doing. It's the Simpsons thing. Dasher, right. Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donna Dixon. It was when Homer was learning to be a department store Santa, and he had to reset.
I am putting Speed Zone on the Film Sack all-time watch list.
Okay.
If it is ever streaming, we're watching it.
All right.
Peter Boyle, John Schneider.
Wow.
Jamie Farr, Lee Van Cleef, Eugene Levy, Brooke Shields, Alyssa Milano.
Wow.
How have we never had a Eugene Levy film on Film Sack?
Because most of them are all right, except
for
Have
we never seen the Eugene Levy film?
No, never. No way. I don't think he's on the list. I have it up here.
Oh, Sack.
The stuff he makes is too good. It's all that... like the Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman and stuff like that.
See,
okay, American Pie 2.
American Pie. I was about to say American Pie 6.
Multiplicity seems like a perfect.
Ooh, yeah, that was actually pretty good. That's with Batman, right?
Stay tuned. The John Ritter one where he's stuck in a
Closest we have, by the way, is Don Levy, and he was in Convoy.
That's Club Paradise, Armed and Dangerous. No kidding. Why haven't we seen a movie with?
Yeah, let's get on that.
Eugene Levy.
Right,
so I've moved Speed Zone Maniac into my all-time watch list.
Oh my gosh, they made a Maniac Mansion movie.
Oh, I'm sorry, TV series.
What?
Yeah.
Is it based on the game series?
It's got to be 1993. That would have been right around the same
time. That's insane. All right, well, I'm all in.
And this, people, is how we pick the new Film Sack stuff.
That other stuff and stuff they vote for and recommend. You know, it's a combination of things. Yeah, so.
Exactly.
Other films we're always on the lookout for, Twister, Bad Boys, The Arrival, Point Break, things like that. I've had to move a film to the Film Sad list. Adventures of Baron Munchausen is no longer streaming.
Oh, well, that was one of our next ones, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a tough one, too, because it's kind of like Time Bandits.
Yeah,
hard, it's one of those really weird movies.
They're both directed by the same guy. But yes.
Right.
All the Gilliam movies, a little hard to review, I think. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I've got an alternate title here. Hold on. Let me get in front of me here. This is not a pay stub from a check. This is actually a list. alternate titles include Same Thing, Different Island, or... Oh, no. Ooh, there you go.
There you go. That should have been the name of the movie.
We got another
War Garble film.
Right. Oh, yeah. A bunch in a row here. So we've got a call this week from a listener about the Xmas special from Star Wars and whether or not we should do it. Here you go.
Greetings, Film Sackers. This is Steve from Claremont, Florida. Listening to your episode about Cyberg on my way to work and heard you mention the possibility of sacking the Star Wars Christmas special. All I can say is, for the love of God, no. Have you seen that thing? Oh, you will regret it if you do it. Otherwise, love the show. Have a good one.
I am not in agreement with him. I think that it's totally worth sacking, maybe better yet, watching together live.
I think Film Sack is all about regret. I mean, I think that is the crux of what we do.
Film Sack. What are we mining the depths of film entertainment for? Regret.
Regret. We find it a lot, yeah. Turns out there's a lot of regret at the bottom of that barrel. I think we still are going to consider it. I don't know when or how or what, and maybe around the holidays would be the best thing. But I don't think we can scratch that one off. It's legendary.
I think that's a good idea. I think around the holidays, we all accept mediocre entertainment or below entertainment norms.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I agree with that. We got another email here from Derek from Edinburgh. He says, hello, guys. I'm not doing the accent. I would highly recommend sacking Best of the Best 2.
He says it continues
the story of Eric Roberts, Chris Penn, and Philip Ray, three U.S. Taekwondo champions. These are the two, or there are two others in the film series, but they are ditched along with James Earl Jones. What? Doesn't make sense. Anyway.
They ditched the actors.
They got rid of the other actors.
Isn't that right?
That must be it. The other sequels didn't have them. Anyway, however,
really the best of the best if it was a sequel.
That's a good point. Best of the best also.
Right.
However, they introduced Ralph Moeller, mentioned in the recent Cyborg episode, as the bad guy that runs illegal fights in a nightclub in Las Vegas. There are training montages, some really bad acting, and truly awful dialogue that makes this movie one of my all-time favorites. Currently, it's streaming on Amazon Prime in the UK, but who knows? It may be on Netflix in the US or maybe Amazon. Since I know from years of listening to your great podcast, what's on Netflix in the US isn't necessarily happening here. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Derek from Edinburgh.
These were well-known martial arts films back when I used to work at Blockbuster. These were it was requested quite a bit.
Yeah, they were huge.
Oh, best of best.
And it's some of the origins of like that montage music, the kind of Karate Kid, Rocky, you know, getting ready for shit music.
Right.
Totally.
Training montage. Yeah.
Is that streaming anywhere? I don't. We could look.
That's what I'm looking.
I just looked. Yeah.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I'd really like for us to see the best of the best first.
The first one, yeah.
Because then we wouldn't understand anything that happens in Best of the Best 2 without it.
Unless it was directed by a Karate Kid Part 2 director, in which case.
Then we get
the whole first movie, right?
Yeah, that'd be funny if he did. Let's find out if that's him. What if it is him?
That would be hilarious.
John G. Avildsen. Let's find out. Here we go. Nope, not him.
No.
All right. Well, that's your emails and your call. Thank you for sending that in. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. You can also send us voicemails at 801-471-0462. What is our next film?
So, losing the adventures of Baron Munchausen, we have advanced the movie Scorcher, the 2002 James Seal film starring John Rhys Davies, Rutger Hauer, etc. It's another horrible end of the world movie.
I'm in.
After scientists determine the only way to stop the natural Armageddon is to detonate a nuclear bomb in L.A.
I miss when we used to could solve everything with a nuclear bomb. I miss agree. Those days.
I do too. It was a simple time.
I'll just
stop. So basically,
there.
It's the day after the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with this.
Next
I love
Tuesday.
I love the similar films to Scorcher, Phantoms, Deep Impact, Left Behind the movie. I'm sold.
I'm all in. I'm in mainly because we haven't done a Rutger Hauer since the that weird Matthew. What was that called? The Lady Hawk. We haven't done him since Lady Hawk.
Long time.
Well, and the main guy is Mark Dacascos, and I don't think we've done him. I don't think he's been in a film sack film.
Has John Rhys Davies been anything? Because, man, I used to love Sliders.
By the way, Sliders streaming someplace right now.
It usually is.
Amazon, maybe. I'm trying to think. We haven't done any Lord of the Rings, so he hasn't been Gimli for us. Oh, right. No, we haven't done Indiana Jones. I don't think we have. Maybe we should be on a lookout for, well, there's the film.
Well, next there week. Yeah. Next week, we're going to watch Scorcher. And after that, Starship Troopers 2.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not wanting to.
Come on.
Never seen it, so I'm looking forward to finding out what happens. I want to know more.
Yeah. Will there be more giant vagina creatures that will eat Casper Van Diem?
That's right.
And then vomit him forth? I hope so.
And I mean, Ender is so powerful at this point. Wait.
Wrong universe. No.
Okay, sorry.
It's all right. They don't like gay people or something. What's the deal? Oh, I don't know. I made that all up.
Why? Because they got rid of...
I'm making a reference to the author. Orson Scott Card being kind of a gay hater. It's a real spot. A real spot on that guy's otherwise illustrious career. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get out of here. We're done. Thank you for being here. Phil, I left it on a great note, didn't I?
Right?
Everybody gets real quiet.
Thanks,
hater.
Scott Johnson.
Yeah, no problem. Filmsack.com is the website. Voicemails can be sent, as I said before, 801-471-0462. You can find us on the Twitter, at Filmsack. You can also leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are distributed. That is going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Andy. We'll see you next time.
Miyagi!
Much vibrato in that.
I was.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Oh, I don't want to scare anybody, but there's a new ending thing.
Yeah, I got that boss fight music.
Nice.
Cool.